Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I definitely upgraded my location today. God is smiling on me. I'm highly favored and blessed here in the office. The very busy, you got a lot of books and stuff out here, Pastor Wooden. Bishop Wooden's here, the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. So if I'm sitting here with my slightly older brother from another mother, it must be
slightly.
Black and white day.
Yes.
Slightly. Slightly. I mean, what is the deal here on your – you've got so many piles of paper. You got so many books. There's books everywhere. Is this just a normal pastor's gig? Is that what's going on here?
I think it is. At least, I need it. I need all of the information and help that I can get to stay on top of things.
Yes. Well, it's great to see you. Great to be here in your office.
I'm honored, buddy.
It's great
Thank
to
you.
Be here.
Yes,
great
sir.
To be on Facebook Live. So
yes,
share
sir.
On
Hello, Facebook Live.
There's Facebook over there. And what a monumental couple of weeks. You were up at the March for Life. We
yes.
spoke briefly that day when
yes.
you were driving
yes.
back.
Yes.
And then, of course, you have the March of Life compared to the Women's March.
Mm.
So you, a man of God, a husband, a father, a grandfather, what'd you think, Bishop Wooden, when you saw clips from the Women's March in Washington, D.C.?
It proved to me that I was right in the fake outrage that all of these women had when they played the tape of Donald Trump on the bus 10 years ago when he was a registered Democrat. And they talked about the words he used, right? And you know what the words were.
Yeah.
And yet these ladies go to the march disguised as vaginas.
Right.
With signs.
And I actually don't know if you can say that on the radio, but you just did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You can. It's just anatomical. We're just reporting the facts.
Yeah,
we had a moment of journalistic integrity and honesty there. So enjoy it, friends.
Yeah.
You're probably never going to hear it again.
It was the proper term. Okay. Female reproductive.
Okay.
Organ.
All right. Fair.
And,
whatever.
And with the signs, all of the vulgarity,
yeah.
the cussing, the F-bombs and all this, with people with their children holding the signs. These were mothers with their kids walking beside lesbian couples, seeing all kinds of obscene things, and yet they faked outrage, and they were just so shocked at this tape that was spoken in private.
Yeah.
It would never be public.
And Donald Trump's the scumbag.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. And who was the actress talking about her?
Ashley Judd.
Yes. Did Ashley not know that Trump had only been president for a day? So even if
Don't go using logic on me, Pastor. That's not going to fly.
Even if they were putting a tax on feminine napkins and
yes.
birth control and not on Rogaine
yeah.
and Viagra, Trump had just been president for a day.
Yeah, not even 24 hours. Yeah, and it's all coming unglued.
Yeah, she makes a fool of herself and get up and talk about this natural part of what it's like to be a female, and it's outrageous. I was shocked, and for those women who were there who professed to be Christians,
right.
I was very surprised and disappointed.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, and I think that's a glimpse into the reality that exists. On the left, we're going to look at this article
right,
a little bit later
right.
today from townhall.com. The left hates you. Act accordingly.
Right.
We're going to talk about that. And I especially want to talk about, okay, for us as Christians, being hated by the world, liberals or otherwise, is nothing new. Jesus told us that that's exactly what was going to happen. So we'll talk about our reaction to that. But, yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is how quickly all the protests, and then we get the so-called Muslim ban, which
right.
is seven countries.
Right.
And if you're going to ban Muslims, you better add about another 33 countries
to the
mix.
Another 33 countries, at least.
And then boom, 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 boom. These things are showing up instantaneously because they're all bought and paid for by people
right.
like George Soros.
Right, right.
Are you shocked by how we've seen this progress just in the first 2 weeks of Trump's administration?
I'll have to admit, I am. I knew that it would be bad. And one thing I do know, Democrats and leftists know how to fight. And it seems like they do not get tired. They don't tire. They fight and they fight and they fight. But to see it ratcheted up to this level, I was caught off guard a little. I've regrouped since then. But it shows that It's true hatred.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that when you say to people, you know, I support Donald Trump, or I voted for Donald Trump, or I have a differing thought. It's amazing to me the emotion and the rage that immediately surfaces. I was at a Walgreens the other day and talking to a young man, and this guy had been so respectful. You know, when you walk in, he says, "Welcome to the store," and all that. And now he hardly speaks. I'm amazed. And
yeah.
this guy's a kid. And what are you upset about?
And what does he even know?
Yeah, at 20.
Yeah.
He just arrived.
Next to nothing.
Right, right, exactly.
It is amazing to see the level of vitriol. And then, so it's, but you're a bishop in the Church of God in Christ. And what's been the reaction amongst the leadership? This is, I think it's the largest black denomination on the planet, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Church of God in Christ. So
yes.
what's been the reaction to, hey, Bishop Wooden is known around the country and people love you. And but would you say you're a Trump guy?
Would I say I'm a Trump guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So do you, like, lose your man card in that denomination, or what's the reaction?
Well, it depends upon who I'm talking to. Now, one of the things I love about our great church is that it is a big tent, and the church won't kick you out for leaning toward Donald Trump or Hillary. I don't understand how anybody could have supported her.
Yeah.
And I'm adamant about that. And I tell you something, Rodriguez, who read the scripture at the inaugural.
Yeah, the big Latino evangelical.
Yeah, while he preached for our national leadership conference.
Wow.
The Tuesday of that week. So while he was preaching, I said to some of my friends, I said, this guy voted for Trump. He said, do you know him? I said, no, I never met him, but I'm telling you, he voted for Trump. There's no way that he didn't. He says, how do you know? I said, but listen, I said, because we're the only ones who could preach a message that conservative and vote for Hillary. So turns out after the message,
yeah.
I go over and meet the guy,
right.
shake his hand. Turns out I was right, and he's at the inaugural
yeah.
a few days later
yeah.
reading the New Testament.
Reading out of the New Testament. Wasn't that beautiful? Yeah, just amazing. Well,
yeah.
I mean, obviously you've been a very out there in the public conservative for years. Has the reaction that you get, has the emails, all that kind of stuff, has it dialed up since Donald Trump was in the general election and since he won? Is it worse now than you've seen it in the past?
With some, it is. With many, it's not. Some just don't want to talk. They just rather not say
sure.
anything at all.
Sure.
But it exists. The vitriol is there. But many blacks are liking what they hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the Trumpster.
Well, you remember what he told him. You got nothing left. You got nothing to lose.
You know what I told him?
Yeah, man.
Trump's in the Bible. The Bible said the Trump of God.
On that note, this is Steve Noble here on Black and White Day with Bishop Wooden. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. It is Black and White Day with my slightly older brother from another mother, Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr., the pastor of the very fine, incredible Upper Room Church of God in Christ here in Raleigh,
thanks.
North Carolina. You're welcome, and a well-deserved acknowledgement of this church, which has, this has always been my church home away from home.
Yes, sir.
Now, it's me and Judge Gillian.
Yep.
We're the spots in the buttermilk, right?
Judge is the main.
So,
yeah.
So when I come here, every once in a while I have a chance to come to Upper Room, I always know I'm going to see one white face, and it's going to be Judge Gilliam.
Yep.
And I don't, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I would prefer, actually, to not see any white faces at all. And I know that sounds probably wrong, but we live in such segregated worlds most
yeah.
of the time.
Yeah.
That, man, since the day we met, which is the day that Call to Action got started, the more time I've spent with my black brothers and sisters, the more work God has done on my heart on all kinds of issues, mm-hmm. but also to expand my understanding of how beautiful the body of Christ is.
Yes, and the Lord has added the Dooleys. They're such a wonderful, wonderful family, and we praise the Lord
yeah.
for them. And Brother Seltzer, he's been with us from day one,
wow.
ever since I've been in this city. And the guy looked at me one day with his very blue, baby blue eyes, and he said, Pastor, I want to tell you something. And I said, yes, sir, what is it? And he said to me, he said, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And it went all the way to my heart. Mm-hmm. And these are, he's a first-class guy. These are first-class people. And the truth is, the body of Christ, black or white, the body of Christ is the most magnificent thing, body, in this world. And we're going to need each other.
That's right.
As never before.
That's right.
See, but I do believe, and we've talked about this before, the divide is coming in. It's not white or black. It's whether you believe the scriptures or not.
Right. That's right. Right. That's the dividing line, mm-hmm. and that is the foundation on which you build not only your house, but your ministry, your daily interaction with other people, your political philosophy,
sir.
All
yes,
that stuff is built out of the Word of God, which is once you ingest enough of the Word of God, these political issues, things that we read on Facebook, things that we hear on the radio, you know, to me, it's like wearing crystal clear vision glasses.
Yes, sir.
Everything starts to make sense. There's not a lot of things that baffle me anymore. And that's right. The beauty of a biblical worldview. It's the only one, because it's the only one that's true,
right.
That makes sense out of all the madness.
Yes, sir. You are 100% correct.
All right. So Donald Trump, here we are at the end. We're into week number 3. So 2 weeks in office. What do you think?
Well, he needs his cabinet. And I hope that the obstructionists would stop obstructing.
DeVos got in today.
Good.
So Pence came in. First time in Senate history and a confirmation that the vice president had to cast the vote. So she's in as Secretary of Education.
Well, thank God that she got in. I think that Rex Tillerson is going to make a tremendous Secretary of State.
Absolutely.
I loved his speech. I love the people that he has selected, because he's selecting achievers and winners. Now, Voss, the fact that she's for choice in education does not mean that she's against the public school system.
No.
I'm amazed at how the Democrats can color you. And they know the majority of people aren't going to go beyond their one-liners and sound bites.
That's right.
To say, okay, what makes this lady against public education? Why is she so underqualified? You know, all these brains now, for the last 8 years, they showed us their qualifications. And I love Trump's response to the crying that the Democrat, what is his name?
Pelosi, which
no,
one?
No, the guy.
Schumer.
Chuck.
Trump, or as Trump, Rush calls him, Chuck, you Schumer, but I'm not going to go there.
Trump said they're not real tears. Said, and if he was actually crying, then he's a different kind of man. But I'm amazed at what did make him cry. Look at the Americans who've been murdered. Look at the people who've been slaughtered, whether it's a nightclub or kids in school or all the multitude of people who've been slaughtered, and he never shed a tear. And all of a sudden now with a few props.
Because we tighten up our immigration and our visitors and our visas, we want to take a break. Let's 90, 120 days. Let's hit the pause button, which, by the way, Obama did with Iraq and Jimmy Carter did with Iran. Mm-hmm. And we've done it time and time again over the 240-year history of this country. And I was teaching a bunch of kids the other day down here in this neck of the woods, a bunch of high school homeschoolers that I teach the Constitution and civics to. And we were talking about the so-called Muslim ban. I said, when you go to the mall and you see doors into the building, does that offend you?
No.
All right. So if you go at 3 o'clock in the morning and you go up to the door and you tug on the door and it's locked, does that offend you?
No.
Why not? Well, now these are 16, 17 year olds. Well, I guess that the mall has a right to define its own terms and protect its own location. Okay. All right. So now you're just a hateful, bigoted, homophobic, Islamophobic, misogynistic, all the other stuff. That's who you are. And by the way, when you go home today, if you see one of your neighbors and they have a fence around their yard, does that freak you out? Do you think they're terrible? No. And so here we are, a quote-unquote Muslim ban. I mean, how do you react to that?
I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the usage of words. A Muslim ban. First of all, it makes no sense. It is a ban, or it is only seven nations.
Seven countries. Which were identified by the Obama administration, by the way.
Right. For it to be a Muslim ban, there's at least 42 more. So that tells you right there it's not a Muslim ban. The media continues to push this idea because they're trying to stop Donald Trump. But I think, now, here's what I really think. I think it shows that spiritually we're in trouble. Mm. Because when you consistently vote against your own best interests, when a nation gets backwards, like the media is, and like the things that they're putting out now, because this is a no-brainer that he would do this. I don't know why they're protesting at the airports. It doesn't make any sense at all. I'm amazed that people would buy into that, especially when you see around the world, they're still doing things.
Right.
Something
happened. Well, look, the machete
today.
Guy at the Louvre in Paris. Guess where he came from? He was from Egypt by way of a temporary visa going through Kuwait. And you go, and he yelled. What do you think he yelled? Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
Right? Allahu Akbar. Out comes the machete. He's there at the Louvre. Mm-hmm. And you go, and he was a not a refugee, but a visitor from another country, which is what this was for.
Right.
Let's go to the 7 hot spots on the planet where we have the highest concentration of terrorist activity, and let's just shut that down for a little while and make sure we're vetting properly, because people will start saying, well, the odds of you being killed by a refugee from Syria on the streets of America is 0.00003%.
That's stupid.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden it's wrong or it's evil for us to want to protect our borders? It's ludicrous.
Right, right. I mean, you can't have a nation without borders.
Right.
Mexico protects its borders. These other countries protect their borders. It makes perfectly good sense. And as an African-American, when we talk about border protection, immigration, and people coming in, everybody knows that illegal immigration and things like that, and this is slightly off what we're talking about, but it does keep wages artificially low and unemployment artificially high.
Yeah.
And yet many of us will argue for illegal immigration, not legal immigration. I think the president is on the right track. I hope that he stays. I do think that it will be overturned. I think the Ninth Circuit will be reversed.
Oh, sure it will.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the most liberal court in the country. It's also the most overturned of the appellate courts versus the Supreme Court. And then we can only hope, and it's going to go to the Supreme Court, that they're going to uphold the rule of law and allow us to protect our borders as any nation would. When we come back, we'll keep talking about Donald Trump, and then we'll get into this article, "The Left Hates You, Act Accordingly." Well, that's easy to answer on a political standpoint. But what as a Christian? What's the deal? How do we deal with the people that hate us? This is Steve Noble with Bishop Wooden. We'll be right back.
Let's try it all together. One, two.
Yeah, baby, you got it. That's pretty good coming from you, because, you know, when we did Call to Worship back in November, and we were talking about the music. You remember this? And I'm like, yeah, we got Matt Papa here's rocking it out, you know, white evangelical style.
But he was just, it was great, but he was so slow. Every song.
You're like, where's the Hammond organ? Come on. Is Jesus in this place or what's going on? That was so funny. Because then you were doing what? It was the beat thing.
Yeah.
So in the black church, what's the beat? Is it 1 and 3? Is it 2 and 4?
2-4.
Two, four.
I think it's 2-4.
I think it's 2-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was hilarious. Yeah. So it's that's the thing that I think the evangelical world needs, and the world in America in general, on the race issue. We're not going to go down this road today. I think God has given us a great platform when we do anytime we do anything together, because we can just like we did a Call to Worship, which, by the way, that video is on the Facebook page, and the video is also on the homepage at c2atoday.com when you and I had the conversation, and my buddy Bob's in here today watching us, and he was talking about, hey, when you hear somebody like Bishop Wooden talking about racism that he's experienced not in the last several years, but in the last several weeks or in the last several months, and then we just get this junk on the table and talk about it, people are so politically correct that you can't get anywhere.
Right.
And when we go down the race road together, which we do quite often, I've always been able to count on the grace that Christ has placed in you.
Thank you,
that when I'm just going to speak my mind and tell you exactly what I'm thinking, then I know I'm doing it in a safe place.
Right.
And you can reverse and do the exact same thing
with
me.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's a big deal.
I'm grateful. What you provide for me, with you, I get to talk to a white person about things that I've always wanted to talk to white people about.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, and I don't have to duck or have to fight or
right. Someone
think that I'm trying to be funny or to be insulting. And you, Steve, what can I say? You're a great guy. You're a smart man, and I believe that you are and I'm very serious about this, a godsend, and I'm praying for you that the Lord continue to keep you and your family.
Amen.
With the work that you're doing and in the work that you're doing. So Bravo, yeah. my
Amen.
Brother.
Thank you,
Keep
my friend.
Keep up the good work.
You too. So, all right, back to Trump. And as we're moving forward, I mean, we were talking about this off the air, but, you know, I'm concerned that he's not going to do much on when we deal with the issues that are kind of social conservative issues, especially on the gender issue and on the sexual orientation issue, because he's not an ideologue.
Right.
He doesn't operate out of the same worldview that we do. I mean, God knows that he's heard the gospel probably more in the last 12 months than he has in the last 22 years of his life. So we just got to keep praying for the guy's salvation. I have no idea whether he's saved or not. I do, because I know several of the people that have been around him. He's heard the gospel every which way you can mm-hmm. present it over the last 12 months. So let's just keep praying that yeah. actually takes root in his heart. And he's a born-again Christian. But as we move forward and you see what's happening with the Supreme Court, how do you feel about that? I mean, that was the number one reason I think you and I both voted for
That's
Donald
it.
Trump
That's
was
it.
The Supreme Court. Now we're looking at Gorsuch, who's 49. 49. So he's got 30-plus yeah. years sitting on the court. How do you feel about that choice?
I like it. I like it. I think it's a true choice.
Yeah.
He's doing what he said he would do.
Once again.
And I think he should be praised for that. And I hope that the people who are watching understand that so far this man is doing what he said he would
yeah.
do. This guy's conservative, and we need him. He reminds you of Scalia. So – I'm good.
All for
I'm
him.
Good, yes.
So what do you think about Trump's style? You like to use the word brash when we talk
yeah,
about me.
I mean, I
use that word when I talk about you.
Yeah,
but what do you think about Trump's style?
I like his style. Now, he doesn't – there are some words and language
sure.
that he used that I wouldn't use. But we need, in my opinion, a brawl-room
barroom brawler.
Barroom brawler right now. We need a guy who is tough. I don't think that he's being fooled by Putin. I don't think he's in love with Putin. I don't think that he's that weak. I think that he has an approach. I think that he's offering an olive branch. But he's not the kind of guy that you walk on.
No.
And so I think that he reminds me, now Facebook is going to light up with this, but in some ways, he reminds me of John the Baptist.
Wow.
He's the right man with the right temperament at the right time.
Yeah.
He's different. He's got the locust and wild honey thing going.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a pulpit. He doesn't preach at the temple. He stands at the River Jordan, and he gives a direct message.
Yeah.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and had the nerve to tell
Herod,
it's not right for you to have your brother Philip's wife.
Yeah.
In that
yeah.
sense.
Hey, Herod, what's with the whore?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the next thing you know, his head's off. Yeah. Well, I agree with you. I think that this guy has no political correctness in him whatsoever.
None.
He dismisses the media.
Right.
He doesn't give them anything.
Right.
And they're not used to that because they're used to being worshipped. Really, not just from the left, but from all sides. The right has worshipped the media, thinking that the media has so much power that you have to somehow appease them. And that's why I said off the air, and I'll say it on the air, I think dealing with the radical left, like we look at this townhall.com right. article, "The Left Hates You, Act Accordingly," it's like dealing with, unfortunately, and this is going to sound somewhat unchristlike, so let me play this out a little bit. It's like dealing with ISIS.
Yes.
When you have ideologues who their only choice for you is that, hey, either you're going to pay the jizya, we're going to tax you if we decide to let you live, or you're going to convert, or you're going to die. The only answer you have for that is to kill those people.
Right.
Now, certainly we're not advocating for that in right. the political realm here
right.
in America.
Right.
But this is not an appeasement mode. You can't cut a deal with them. It's win or lose, period.
Period. In the words of Rush Limbaugh, they have to be defeated.
Yeah.
Because they have drawn the terms. They made the fight like it is today.
Right.
Because I'm surprised at the level of hatred and vitriol that we see, and the things that are being said. You know, it dawned on me. You know, these people aren't playing. They really feel this way. I used to think that some of it was just playing to the camera, and if you get them away from the camera, everything is cool. But I've talked to people away from the cameras. There's no camera around, and you see the hatred and the anger.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet I've seen reason and prayer and common sense change some minds, because most of this is rooted in emotion.
Right,
in
right.
emotions.
Right.
So when you begin to debate it, say, man, let's just talk. You know, people have asked me, how could you, being a black man, vote for or support Donald Trump? And my first answer it has always been, because I think blacks have a right to live. I think blacks have a right to be born. Then they go, oh, how so? Then when I began to explain his position on abortion versus the Queen's position on abortion, Hillary, when I talk about his position on inner cities and what he wants to do versus what has been done,
yeah,
all of a sudden, you know, the light comes on with people. I don't go to the headlines, the one-liners,
right, yeah,
the labels, but you go beyond that. Now, we don't know what he's going to do.
That's right.
We don't know what any politician is going to do. But so you go by what they say and what they've done thus far.
And then you hold them to it.
You hold them to it.
And right now, he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do.
He's doing what he said he's going to do.
You for the wall?
Right.
Are you for the wall?
Me?
Yeah.
100%. Listen, Nehemiah built the wall.
Yeah, baby.
David talked about the walls of Jerusalem. Open up the doors. Open up the gates. We need the wall. We need it for our security. We need to control who comes
sure
in and who doesn't. To me, it's a no-brainer. And most of the people who are against the wall today were for the wall. So we need the wall. The man, listen, if he doesn't build this wall, it's going to be George Herbert Walker Bush all over again.
Yeah, that's right.
Read my lips.
Yeah.
No new taxes.
Yeah, read my lips. Yeah. We're going to build the wall and get Mexico to pay for it.
And they're going to pay for it.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens because, you know, this is the guy. Now, you go back to the Putin thing and then we'll move on because I do want to talk about this article. You know, Donald Trump is a deal maker.
Right.
I think his first words about any person, any situation, any environment are going to be just a first play. He's playing everybody on a deal-making level.
Right.
So I think he's sitting there going, hey, you know, Putin this, Putin that, and not necessarily, you know, that we have plenty of evil here. You think we haven't killed people here in America? I think that's all him playing Putin.
Right.
The whole time. And then he gets into another conversation. And for him, he's going to come in one way and he's going to go out another. And the whole way he's trying to position himself and mess up his opposition because he wants to win the deal.
Yes, and what's running interference is a media and people who aren't giving him a chance to establish his position. Rubio says to Trump, are you now prepared to call Putin a murderer or, you know, say he's guilty of war crimes? Well, had Trump said that, that takes everything off the table.
The door's shut from day one.
Yeah, and Rubio knew it. So I think that Donald Trump is taking an approach that if he's allowed to play it out, I actually believe that we'll come out on top.
Yeah.
Because I think that Trump has too much pride in and of himself to allow Putin to do to him.
Isn't that true?
What he did to Hillary and to President Obama at every turn. After all, Trump is not the guy who was caught on open mic saying, after the elections, I'll be more flexible.
I'll have a little more flexibility. That's exactly right. So we'll see what happens there as Donald Trump gets into it with Vladimir Putin. And hopefully we won't see both of them riding on the back of horses without their shirts on. One was enough. I don't want to see that out of our president. This is Steve Noble. We're here just to mess up everybody and give you bad nightmares tonight. It is Black and White Day with Bishop Wooden. We'll be right back after this. They hate you. So what are you going to do about it? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. By the way, we're on Facebook Live as well here in Bishop Wooden's office at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, Raleigh, North Carolina. One of the godliest and most outspoken men of God that I know, my slightly older brother from another mother. And, you know, we're like 99.9% the same.
Yes, sir.
You scratch us open. You flip us inside out. And we have all the same stuff. So we don't get bent out of shape about our color differences. But you know, the thing about it, people go, well, we should be colorblind. No, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't.
No, there's beauty in diversity.
Yes, yes. That's the most hypocritic statement.
Oh.
I'm colorblind. I don't see color. I see color.
I see it.
I love it. It's beautiful.
Remember the first time we did a radio show together?
I remember.
This was back in 2007. And I was like, because I can do this with you. I say, okay, so let me just tell you what's going on here. I'm pretty sure I shouldn't refer to you as my Negro friend.
Yeah.
I think we're past those days. So let's put that one. The other N-word, of course not. And then, you know, so are you African-American? Because when I hear the phrase African-American, and I'll just be honest, I'm thinking, how far back do I have to go in Bishop Wooden's past to find an African?
Right.
Okay, so, but do you want me to call you an African-American? Do you want, is it offensive if I say he's black, and I asked you this on the air, and you said, well, what color do I look like to you? And I said, you kind of look medium brown, but that doesn't really flow well.
Right.
And I said, what color do I look to you? Do you remember what you said?
White.
You said, you're definitely white. Not just kind of little old pansy. Oh, you're white. No, you're definitely white. And that's the beauty of it, man.
That's the beauty of
it. I mean, some people like to pull the Oreo apart and they eat the white part first, but they eventually eat the black part.
That's right.
And an Oreo is not an Oreo unless you got both, right? It ain't candy.
Got to have
it ain't
both.
A cookie. It ain't even fun if it doesn't have both sides. So anyway, I get off the track a little bit there. All right, let me go to this town hall. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, but it's actually on track. It makes the point.
Yes.
Because they're trying to divide us on everything.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Every race, height, size, you name it.
Socioeconomic stuff, income, education, you name it, try to divide us. Maybe the United States of America is divided, but this body of Christ certainly doesn't have to be.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go to this. Townhall.com, February 6th, The Left Hates You, Act Accordingly by Kurt Schlichter. Okay, great German name there. Here's his opening. They hate you. Leftists don't merely disagree with you. They don't merely feel you are misguided. They don't think you are merely wrong. They hate you. They want you enslaved and obedient, if not dead. Once you get that, everything that is happening now will make sense, and you will understand what you need to be ready to do. You are normal. This is really good. You are normal and therefore a heretic.
Right.
You refuse to bow down to their idols, to subscribe to their twisted catechisms, to praise their false gods. This is unforgivable. You must burn. Then he goes on to say this. They hate you because by defying them, you have prevented them from living up to the dictates of their false religion. Our rebelliousness has denied them the state of grace they seek, exercising their divine right to dictate every aspect of our puny lives. Their sick faith gives meaning to those secular weirdos, giving them something that fills their empty lives with a messianic fervor to go out and conquer and convert the heathens being us. This is pretty strong language,
right?
But from a political perspective, from a cultural perspective, but especially from a spiritual perspective, isn't this just truth?
It's accurate. It's accurate, and that is the way they see us, and they're coming after us with a fervor that we haven't seen before, but it's a religion to them. And for us, it was politics, it's law, it's common sense, but it's a religion to them. And I'm moved at how they're trying to silence and intimidate everybody. And we were saying this earlier, it's found in Acts chapter 19, verse 20. Speaking of the mob, it says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. And the more parts knew not why they were come together. There are people out there arguing, Steve, and they're fussing. They don't even know what they're fussing about.
Right.
I saw on Waters World, I saw him give the microphone to people and say, so what is your problem? Some of the guys forgot the talking points. Some didn't know why they hated Donald Trump. Some didn't know why they were even marching.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, well, I'm out here to support women. Support women what? Women health. Well, how are women being denied their health? It's amazing what is going on. But they do hate us, and they're trying to control us.
Yeah.
And I think, now I'll be honest with you, I think that we need Christians, you know, we're going to love, right? We're going to love and be loving, but we got to push back. And I don't think they are mutually exclusive.
No.
I think love causes you to push back. I think love causes you to stand your ground. That's why I wanted to be in the March for Life, and we take the stands that we take.
Right.
We don't have a choice.
Right. Right. And ultimately, by confronting lies, by confronting this kind of evil, you're doing it. Number one, you're loving the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, if you care about your neighbor and you see them entrapped by this false religion of liberalism, which worships at the altar of abortion, of same-sex marriage, of all sorts of sexual immorality, both hetero and homosexual, and then, of course, the gender issue. And if Jesus looks out at the masses, and he weeps because he sees that they're like sheep without a shepherd.
Right.
And it helps me to remember that, because I'm going to come up against the lies. I'm going to come up against the father of lies, which is Satan himself. But I also have to remember, these people are so mixed up. They are so lost. Now, the left, of course, this is condescension to the nth degree, right? That I'm saying this at all.
Right.
But I care enough about their soul to speak the truth to them in the hopes that God will use that in some way in his sovereignty to begin to open their eyes. And then they might be willing to listen to the gospel.
But they feel at home with calling us lost.
Yeah.
confused.
Yeah.
The double standard. They want to be able to say anything they want and for the Christians to say nothing. I say that we must speak, and we must speak up and speak loudly and speak often. And in doing so, we will win because truth is right on our side. The Bible speaks of those who hold the truth in unrighteousness because of the unrighteous things that they want to promote. Even in our state, the Democrats are still trying to overturn HB2.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, it's costing us jobs. North Carolina, Forbes, we're number two. On
flourishing.
The Forbes list.
Flourishing.
We're
thank great. You very much.
Yep. Yeah. They ought to be thanking the former governor and the Republicans who've been in charge.
They ought to be thanking God for honoring our leadership, for honoring his truth.
Amen. Amen. So, and yet they are still trying to fight this battle that I don't think they're going to win. But they will win if we relax.
Yeah.
To your point earlier, if we exhale and say, well, Trump is in now. He can do it all. We don't have to worry about anything. He will prove to disappoint, as all men will.
Sure.
We got to stay vigilant and stay before the Lord.
That's exactly right. Let's go to this next part in this article. They are fanatics. They're talking about the real hardcore left. They are fanatics, and by not surrendering, by not kneeling, and by not obeying, you have committed an unpardonable sin. You have defied the left, and you must be broken. They will take your job, slander your name, even beat or kill you. That's the politics of personal destruction, which we've seen for years.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to break you and terrify others by making you an example. Your defiance cannot stand. They cannot allow this whole Trump GOP maturity thing to get out of control. They must crush this rebellion of the normal, and absolutely nothing is off the table. So we have to be on a war footing, or we're just being unfaithful to reality.
I agree. But I'll tell you what, if they continue, I think they're going to only empower the people that they're fighting against, because Americans aren't stupid. And the more the radicals get out there and you protest and do all this, you know, when you protest everything, you protest nothing.
Right.
Because after a while, it loses its juice.
You're just a kid complaining about everything.
That's it. And nobody wants to be identified with a kid who complains all the time.
Why aren't they figuring out, and thank God that they aren't, that their activities today, their behavior today, their attitudes, their words, where they're spending their money, their organizations today, that they've ramped up, is exactly why Hillary Clinton is not the president? Oh, should I have said that publicly? Shh, be quiet, because...
Don't tell it.
No, that's what Rush Limbaugh says. When you get a really nutty liberal on the line, don't interrupt them.
Yeah.
Just let them keep going, because they're going to hang themselves. And that was probably not PC for me to use a hang terminology.
Right.
Because I'm on the radio with a black guy.
Right.
Right? Or am I overthinking it?
You got me, because I didn't think about it. But then, I don't think that way.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But look, they continue. They're doubling down on the things that are starting to disgust a larger percentage of America.
Yes, but I know what Hillary is thinking. Where were you?
No kidding.
When I was on the campaign trail.
Where were you?
Why didn't you come to my events and all that?
Maybe she should have dressed up as a female body part. All of a sudden, Bernie would have been like, man, how'd you draw the crowd? She's like, well, check out my new outfit.
Look at my outfit.
Yeah, check it out, man. I'm standing strong.
But she'd have to get rid of the pantsuits to do that.
Well, I mean, they could just put one right on top. I mean, why not? I mean, it would work. Well, anyway, okay, so the gospel in this condition, the gospel in the country that we live in, highly politicized, highly divided. We only have about a minute and a half left.
Yes, sir.
How do we continue to be good stewards of the gospel? And most of us aren't. But how do we approach people that are just so vitriolic, that hate us? And as soon as you mention politics, it divides. As soon as you mention Christianity, it divides. How do we kind of walk through that to be effective gospel witnesses for Jesus Christ?
I believe that we have to be led of the Spirit, as Paul was. You know, there were whole nations and countries and sections that the Holy Spirit would tell Paul, don't go there.
Yeah.
Or he would say, don't go to Asia now. Now, we know he went, but that was a time when the Lord said, don't. I think that as we live the life and we conduct ourselves in godliness and honesty, we let the Holy Spirit lead us as to when to speak and when to just say nothing and back off. But when we do speak, we need to be bold. We need to be loving. We need to be factual. We don't need to make up facts.
That's right.
When you have the truth on your side, you don't have to gild the lily.
That's exactly right.
Truth will speak for itself.
It will speak for itself. So do that, just like John chapter 1, Jesus full of both grace and truth. Not 70-30, not 50-50, not 60-40. 100-100. 100. Yeah. Both sides. Pastor Cold. Wooden, I love you, man.
Thanks for being on today.
Great seeing you.
Bless you, brother.
Thanks for allowing me here in the esteemed office of Bishop Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. God willing, we'll be back with you again real soon.